And I just wanted to be clear. So my name is Marlon Haywood. I serve as a Health Disparities Research Fellow at Rush University Medical Center. And what I'm going to be presenting on today is accelerating community health worker education, credentialing through prior learning assessments. Our project team is Dr. Andy Garman, Trisha Johnson, Bethann Christopher, who's also at Rush University Medical Center, which is also a university and a hospital. And then you have Ms. Rory Walker, Executive Director for Malcolm X College for the Health Profession Pathways Department. So my presentation agenda that I'm going to cover is Building Urban Healthy Communities Project. So really give a brief overview about that, what we're working on, and then a road to professionalism when it comes to thinking about the community health worker and how it is moving forward. And what is prior learning assessment? So when you think about it in terms of PLA, what is it? And prior learning assessment specifically for community health workers. And then the future planning and how we're planning to move forward. So the Building Urban Healthy Communities is a partnership between Rush University, the Medical Network, and Malcolm X College. Malcolm X College is a community college, one of seven city colleges of Chicago. The Medical Network is an agency, is a partnership and collaboration with clinics, hospitals, public and private, and then Medicaid agencies to service individuals from low-income communities that are underserved. And then you have Rush University, which is a hospital, and private hospital and university in Chicago. So all of this is collaboration and with a generous donation from BMO Harris Bank. So you have different areas, and the whole focus of this project is to eliminate health disparities across the south and west side of Chicagoland area. Now, you see here the four puzzle pieces, but the specific piece that I'm working on is the better training model. Now, when we're talking about the better training model that I'm working on, is to train and develop and train a program to train community health workers. When you're looking at the APHA definition, obviously, it is the frontline public health worker for community health workers, a service that link from health agencies to the community. And so most individuals that are community health workers are individuals that actually work and live in the community that they serve. So what we're trying to do here, and what we actually have done, we started this semester, is build a model. We're starting with base certificate, advanced certificate, and associates in applied science, where individuals actually can get trained and get a degree or certificate in community health work. And then also in doing that, what we also is working on is building public and private partnerships. So from once these individuals actually have obtained a certificate and a degree, they're actually able to go straight into work in doing that. So these are the things that we're doing. I also cannot forget about the stackable credentials. One of the things that we learn when you're working with individuals that come from low-income and underserved communities is that they have all type of issues. And so one of the things that we created was stackable credentials, where these individuals, they're working towards a degree, and let's say they didn't finish for whatever reason, something happened. Now they actually have attained a base certificate or advanced certificate because they obtained 19 credit hours, or they obtained 30 credit hours. So 19 credit hours is for a base certificate. I'm looking at about 40, 45 for an advanced certificate, and then now they have some type of credential value that they can go into the workforce with when you're looking at college to careers. And so that's what this model is about when we're talking about that. Now, and moving forward, the career for community health worker is growing. And according to the data with the labor statistics, it's growing actually 25%, and it's expected to grow over 25% within the next few years. And so when you're looking at the growth, how do we manage that? How can we make sure that we're accounting for these individuals with the growth of community health workers within the field? And so this is very interesting. Now, as the field is starting to grow, when you're looking at Obamacare and everything that's taking place currently within the state of our economy. All right, so in Illinois, we're excited, especially for my Illinois people, my Chicago people. Yeah, very proud. I love Chicago. So we just recently had this signing with the local community health network, community health workers network. They really helped to push forward this. So really with the professionalism of the community health workers. So what is taking place with this one is the establishment of the advisory board. And with the establishment of the advisory board to kind of help put forth a training model when it comes to certification of community health workers. We want to legitimize more of the field. And so when you look at right now, you have individuals that are community health workers who may not classify themselves as a community health worker. And so with that, what we're actually trying to do is really bring it all together and create one quintessential model for it. And so this right here was a great moment. I had the opportunity to be there, and it was great. Now, when we're looking at the characteristics of a community health worker, you have community health workers who, if they worked for over 3 years or more, is 70%. That is actually a high number, actually. And then when you're looking at people who have worked about 10 years, it's shown, the data shows about 25%. Now, when you're talking about some college experience, 87%. Now, when I'm talking about some college experience, I'm talking about they did not get a degree, they have taken classes, but they didn't get a certificate or a degree. So we talk about, that's when we come in with the college experience. And then prior formal training or education is about 40%. And when you go into paid positions, 86%, and then temporary short time is at 29%. Now, it comes into, when you're looking at this, this is what creates a barrier, and it makes it difficult to kind of really educate community health workers when you have a variety of backgrounds. So people who have worked in the field for a very long time, people who are just going into the field, people who have done this as a volunteer basis, they're passionate about the community. And now, how do you get to a place of formalizing this training of the work that's being done within the community? So, community health workers' barriers and challenges, and as I just explained earlier, is that there's diverse needs that make it difficult to develop a one-size-fits-all. Employees face challenges in training. CHWs from states do not have a developed certification program. So just recently in Illinois, we have Malcolm X College in South Suburban who have established community health worker training programs. But before this, recently within just before this year or 2 years ago, this was not even here. And so many states are now just getting to a place of developing these certification programs. Little is also known about the role of CHWs when it comes to medical professions. So they're trying to understand what is the role of community health worker, what is it that they do. And then when you're talking about integrating them into the healthcare system, it seems as though they're not there. And many times when I've talked to many community health workers, they will say that they don't feel that their role is valued. Though it is very important that the work that they do, but it's not valued by people that work within the healthcare and system field. I do not know how I got here, but I'll go ahead and talk about it. Let me see. And then one thing I wanted to say is the difficulty of measuring success of CHW services. So when you're a community health worker, you're out there in the community and you are helping people. You may have helped someone get to the clinic. You may have given someone a ride. You may have everything that you've done. How do you measure the success of that? And there are so many stories of community health workers that help change lives within the community that they work in, but it's difficult to measure that. And it's also difficult to measure disease prevention when you're looking at how diseases have been prevented from the work that community health workers have done. And then you have a lack of funding that's also within that. So these all counts within the barriers and challenges. So what is prior learning assessment? It's evaluation when you're looking at your life experience and taking if you worked within the military, you may have volunteers, you may have done training for 10 plus years, and then turning that into college credits and turning those college credits into a degree. I think about my mother who's a community health worker, and she's been a community health worker for 15 plus years. And so she was 18 when she had me. And so with that, from that point, you know, at 14 years later, she had my sister. So she actually have had college credits, but she never was able to finish school. And so one thing that she's always wanted to do was go to school, get a degree. And so because she didn't have the time to do that because she was working, trying to take care of myself, trying to take care of my sister, and take care of other siblings. And so this is what takes place with many individuals that are community health workers, that they have family obligations on top of trying to work a full-time job and also serve the community, that it makes it difficult to go back to school to do what you have to do. And so prior learning assessment gives that individual, based on your life experience, the opportunity to cut the time short, cut the cost, and then where you can go forth and get your degree. So, obtaining credit using PLA. These right here are six steps when it comes to just general steps. And right now with the general steps with the prior learning assessment, I'm not going to really cover too much, but these are the steps because I just got to move because of time. And right here, this is something that's really important when we're looking at what is known about PLA. So according to the Doan Experimental Learning, conducted a study on PLA, it cuts the time, it actually cuts the time in half, and then it also increases the chances that our students can graduate and actually obtain a certificate. When you're looking at students who do not earn PLA as opposed to students who earn PLA. So if you look over to your left, which is a 78% do not obtain a degree if they do not have PLA. And this was a survey based off 60,000 undergrad students, looking at around 49 institutions. And then over to the right kind of shows how half students were able to obtain a degree or certificate based on getting PLA. And this right here data is just covering what I just talked about how the time was cut in half and how it increases their chances. And then also when you're looking at minority students and how it helps them, Black, Hispanics, in obtaining credits. And because it cuts the time in half and it also looking at it's more cost effective for them. Now, PLA methods of assessment, you're looking at the assessment methods, there are more than two methods, but these are two main methods when you're looking at examination and you're looking at the portfolio. And one of the methods that we're looking to use is examination because you can more so test the individual's knowledge as opposed to looking at it when it comes to the portfolio with prior learning assessment. This right here, I highlighted our basic certificate program at Malcolm X College. At Malcolm X College, there are 19 credit hours. So according to the Higher Learning Commission, individuals cannot be granted more than 25% of prior learning assessment when it comes for it, whether it's a base certificate or a degree program. So with this, for our base certificate program, because of the 25% rule that applies, a student would only be able to apply for to get prior learning assessment credit for the intro to community health work. And this right here, just I kind of wanted to highlight to just show you how that will look for a student and what it's applying towards. If you're looking right here at prior learning assessment at Malcolm X College, as I talked about how we're looking at the testing, it's granted by examination. Students pay a one flat fee. And one of the things that I think that is so important is that the estimated cost of what they serve by doing prior learning assessment, students save $192 per course if they actually go the route of doing prior learning assessment. And as I talked about earlier, it is granted only up to 25%, whether it's certificate or the degree program. Now, when I look at future planning, one of the things of our future planning, what we want to do is partner with local community organizations to offer prior learning credit for CHW experience. We want to decrease the length of time students enroll in the program through prior learning assessment, because if you can decrease the time, you can decrease the cost, that increases persistence, retention, and graduation when it comes to minority and disadvantaged students. Then also we want to benchmark other CHW programs that are out there and how they are utilizing prior learning assessment. And so everything that you see right now, we are in the draft stage. So we started the program with the community health worker program, but now we're in the phase of trying to implement prior learning assessment to get to a place of cutting down the amount of time, reducing the cost, and so we can push more students through to get credentialed, get a certificate, and then also get a degree through prior learning assessment. So I believe that is my time, and I'll say thank you.
Thank you, Malcolm.